This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, I know this may come as a shock to you, but joining us now for the next hour, once again, because this is an issue that is very important to me, and I hope that it is important to you, and that is the work that is done by the corrections officers in New York State and the degree to which that particular field is understaffed, and not just understaffed, but totally disrespected and disregarded by Governor Kathy Hochul. And I have concluded, after much analysis and applying Occam's razor, that the best explanation is Kathy Hochul is a reptilian shape-shifting alien. It's the only thing that makes any semblance of sense. Either that or botulism, toxicity, I don't know. But the commissioner of the correction system, he's another piece of work, because he's been downplaying the injuries suffered by COs at Collins earlier this week. He's been downplaying the situation, but he expresses great outrage at the death of an inmate. One would think that in addition to expressing outrage at the death of an inmate, he would also be expressing outrage at what happened at Collins this week. But again, these people know what side of the bread has the butter. And joining us right now, and WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, news time is 11 minutes after 2, is the regional vice president for Western New York of NYSCOP, that is the New York State and police, corrections officers and New York State PBA. And Kenny Gold, thanks very much for joining us. Appreciate it greatly.
Yeah, thanks always for having me.
Well, let's start off with the very beginning. In testimony, and this was reported on in the Cleveland newspaper, the one printed in Cleveland, and also by the New York Post. Tell us what your immediate supervisor said about the situation at Collins.
My immediate supervisor?
The head of the corrections facilities in all of New York State, the commissioner.
Okay. So obviously the incident happened Wednesday. There's been a lot of rumors and a lot of skeptical stories out there about what actually transpired. And quite frankly, to this minute, Collins is still on lockdown. They're still in there, as the commissioner said, frisking the units and wherever. You know, I personally don't know where they are at right this second in that regards. But, you know, right from day one, you know, they started talking about the biggest thing was the barricading. And yesterday at the public protection hearings, the commissioner came out and said that there was no barricading, that he was there. And he is right. He was there in the truest sense of the words, from my accounts, from the members. And like I said yesterday and probably the day before, You got to remember, these members are still working. These men and women are still working straight through since it's been locked down. They might go home for a couple hours, go back to sleep, come right back. So it's hard to get in touch with the boots on the ground, right? The men and women that are there every day. But what's come across is, you know, starting from right at 1 o'clock in the morning ish when the incident happened, why the words barricading is coming up and being utilized isn't the true sense of barricade like you'd think in the public, in regular, like an actual barricade. But when you use it in the sense of what some of my members have been telling me is right at 1 o'clock in the morning ish when the incident happened, and the use of force that we talked about, where the three members were injured that we talked about. And I want to make that clear. It's three members were injured. They went to urgent cares or well nows or wherever they may have went. Although that it's being reported by the commissioner that one or none, it is three members. I've personally talked to those three members. They were hurt during this use of force. But what's alarming is, and going back to the word barricade, is when they're in the bathroom using force, trying to get the situation under control, there were a plethora. And when I say, I can't tell you the exact amount of inmates, but there were inmates right in the bathroom standing line by line with each other on top of the members that were there trying to get the situation under control with the inmates that they had to use force on due to the fact the one that had the cell phones and the contraband in the facility, as I believe the commissioner reported. Furthermore, reports came back later, and, you know, at some point, right after the 6 o'clock day, they have standing counts, and for the public to understand, obviously you need to have a live breathing body, the inmates stand to make sure they're all there and accounted for and okay. They do their count, and then at some point after the count, an inmate comes out, he brandishes some sort of pick weapon or ice pick, is the words that have been used for me, and then a bunch of inmates gathered around this specific inmate. And at that's the point where the officers reached out to a supervisor, their supervisor is when they told them to leave that unit. And so then from there, and in Collins, an incident where that had transpired, it's not just one dorm. There's a dorm on each side. There's an upstairs and a downstairs dorm. So in theory, there's four total dorms, but those are four units, so people understand that. Two units, the one unit, they had to get out, lock themselves out of it so the inmates are alone, which is something that we never do, but it was ordered to because of the gravity of the situation. The other dorm starts having problems. They get out. Now, upstairs, you have two other dorms that have issues going on as well. So at some point up in those dorms, it's a little different from the downstairs one, but there's like a middle area, like a break room, or we call it a crossover, but there's an area where officers go. It's a like a fridge that they have in there to put their drinks for their day or their food. And the officers on each sides of those units ended up in that area, locked the door, which is, when I say area, it's probably like, I don't know, couple feet by couple feet, maybe a little bit more, give or take. I'm not there every day. I don't know the exact size. But those are, when you speak of barricading and when you keep hearing, Tom, in the public was hearing that it was barricaded in Collins, well, those members were inside that area for probably 3-4 hours. And as soon as they went in that area, the inmates covered the windows so you couldn't see what's going on in there. So when we think it wasn't barricaded, there was a whole bunch of things going on. And then Collins overall, to sit there, and obviously the commissioner came down himself, something was going on. Units, crisis units, emergency response teams from all across the state are going there. Something's going on. Officers from all over are going down there to try to help out. Something's going on. This was maybe not a barricade, but a whole lot was missed yesterday with what really transpired to go down there.
Is it safer to say, instead of barricade, were the COs themselves trapped as opposed to barricaded? I think a barricade is something where somebody is preventing you from gaining entry, but the way you're describing it now, I'm getting the impression that the guards were essentially trapped, the COs.
Yeah, the ones on the second floor were, yes, the trap's a great word, and that's what's disheartening to a lot of members, because a lot of the men and women that are there that know what really happened, and barricades being, you know, so the commissioner, from all intents and purposes, from the members that I've talked to that were there, if you want to say a barricade wasn't there, fine, but they barricaded themselves in lines of individuals. You know, they have to make sure to get past them. They have to make sure to get the right staff. You know, the downstairs officers. They, you know, you don't just walk off of a unit and leave inmates by themselves. And that's our job, is to make sure you're there for to know what they're doing. You know, that's everything is unheard of. And an incident like this, with everything else going on, when we talk about, like you said, our boss, they want, you know, it sounds like, from what I understand, he's recognized that the staff on the midnight shift, that when it happened, has went well, at least from what's been told to me from supervisors and so on and so forth when he was down there. But they need to have somebody there to acknowledge what they're doing the right thing, instead of just saying it, not making it look like they're brushing it under the rug, making it seem like it wasn't a big deal, because to them, that was life or death. And that's what's disheartening. That's what's heartbreaking, really, because they do a job, as we've talked about, show after show after show, that nobody, not too many people are willing to do. And they did such an amazing job. Thankfully, it was only three members that got minor injuries. But to them, it could be really big, because then when you get into the fact of, like, those members that are upstairs that were trapped, using your words, which is a great word, they essentially barricaded themselves for their safety. That's what they did. So just to say, hey, they weren't barricaded, and to walk off, that's a slap in the face to the men and women at Collins and then everybody else around the state, because they know what we go through, and it could be any one of us at any time.
So in what other ways is the commissioner in New York State, who serves at the pleasure of Governor Hochul, in what other ways is he minimizing what happened at Collins? You know, you read some of the articles, he expresses outrage over the death of the inmate some time back, yet he does not express outrage at the behavior of the incarcerated individuals at Collins. I mean, that's got to be a kick in the teeth.
Well, every day is a kick in the teeth. I mean, we can talk about every day the staffing's problem, the department that is eroding as we speak. All over, staffing is a mess. We keep giving more to the inmates and take more from the officers. That mentality is, it's okay because we get a paycheck. Well, meanwhile, as you know, there's exposures happening. You don't see anybody coming out saying that this isn't right for my employees to deal with this type of stuff. And when I say coming out, it's all over the state at this point. This isn't Collins and Wyoming anymore. It's everywhere. When you have assaults at record numbers and no one's coming out saying, my employees can't handle this anymore, you need to look at the laws that you created. When they come out and they say, we give more programs to the inmates, no one's coming out saying, my employees can't do this at this point with the staff that I have. I need some time. I need some ability to maneuver my staff force, my workforce, to make this right. Nobody is coming out saying, hey, you know what? These men and women do a fantastic job. They do God's work sometimes for what they do, and I've said it time and time again, we're medical professionals. We're not obviously medics, but we're taking care of them for medical purposes, psychological purposes, safety purposes. We're their everything when they're there to help them get through the day. And never once did they say that, but no, they said, go in, do your 16 hours. We're gonna, you know, if you don't come to work on your day off, we're gonna discipline you up to and including termination. And what kind of work environment is that that's conducive? And when your leaders, you know, the legislature, they keep, doing things I can't say, the word that I want to say on the air, basically demeaning you and making you feel like you're less than adequate when they come through facilities and don't talk to you. And certain legislators, not some. I mean, we have really good legislators out here like George Borrello and Rob Ort and Dave DiPietro that'll support our members, but ones that are in the majority legislature don't listen to the officers. The commissioner isn't coming out saying, this is what I need for my staff. And if he's doing it behind closed doors, that's great, but no one's going to believe that because we never see it in public. It's always all the things we do wrong, never the things that we do right.
Kenny Gold, the Western New York Regional Vice President, Corrections Officers and Police PBA on News Radio 930 WBEN. We're following up on what happened in Collins a couple of mornings ago, as well as the repercussions and what has been said since then. On News Radio 930 WBEN, Kenny Gold is on the Trocar College WBEN Newsline, and WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. News time is rapidly approaching 2:23. One of the things I think a lot of us are having a hard time understanding is you are the man who would know the information. You have repeatedly told us there were three injuries to COs on Wednesday morning. One of them involved a shattered wrist. That was one CO. Another CO suffered what may be a rather serious injury to the knee. CO number three suffered less severe injuries. So you have everything in black and white. You have it, as my dad used to say, you have it in writing. You have the evidence. You have the corroboration that three individual COs were assaulted to the point where they were injured. Why is the commissioner saying what he is saying and trying to downplay this?
I mean, that's a million-dollar question that every single one of our members, every single officer and sergeant in the state is asking the same thing. And it's not thankfully, right, Tom? Thankfully, this isn't worse. But I would never, I'm their representative. I would love to say that nobody got hurt. That's what you don't want to have happen. But thankfully, it was only three. But nobody knows why you would sit there. And then when we talk about slap in the face and you know, being disheartened and broken down at this point, and I can't stress it enough, like when we say the membership is done, they can't take anymore. They're at breaking point. This is where you, and then you see and you listen to, and the members hear your show. They read the newspapers. They read what's online. And when your boss is saying, and like you said, downplay is the only word that is being utilized at this point, what could they say? Nobody knows why. Nobody knows why you would try to hide it and then try to make it seem like, how can you downplay a situation where you allegedly need to take a helicopter to get in there to fly in to see what's going on yourself?
That's what I don't understand, because if something isn't a big deal, there would be no reason for the commissioner, the guy who's at the very top of the food chain who serves under Kathy Hochul, no reason for him to take a nice February flight to Collins, New York. No reason to leave other facilities even shorter staffed by bringing in the CERT teams and other trained COs to Collins. If it wasn't that big a deal, then we would have to say, well, if it wasn't a big deal, wasn't your response disproportionate?
Well, what we feel, quite frankly, is one, we know that they don't care about us. We know the legislators don't care about it. Your bosses don't care about you. You know, the pizza parties, the inmates get the pizza parties, not even the officers anymore, because they're so disheartened when they say give them some food. They leave it on the tables and outside or on the ground. They don't care. But when it comes down to it, they know you need to downplay everything because your failed policies and the pandering to the convicts, when they know they don't have repercussions, what our members want to know is, one, why is it so hard to, we have to foil videos. Are we even going to be able to get them so the public can actually see this? You know, you probably won't see this for months and months and months, and we'll have to jump through hoops to get the videos so that the public can actually see what our members had to face. And two, what did the inmates face for what they did? You know, when we're talking about them standing and blocking windows and obviously the inmate that used force, what's happening to those inmates when they got taken around the state and possibly causing problems with there? Did they get any? Did they get penalized for anything that they're doing? It's another way of masking for his principals, at least when I say him, anybody in the department, to keep making everything look like it's all sunshine and unicorns. Well, it's dark and it's dank and it's a blizzard. It's a thunderstorm. It's a hurricane right now, and we keep making it seem like everything's okay, and it's not.
We're talking with Kenny Gold on the Trocar College WBEN live line. WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. News time is coming up on 2:27. We're going to keep Kenny till just before the 3 o'clock news. If you have questions or comments for Kenny, you can call 803-0930, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And I think this is an important story on which to follow up. Not because of what happened exclusively on Wednesday morning, but how the reaction has been of the Hochul administration. And it's even more disconcerting that the governor's husband for many years was the U.S. attorney for the Western region of New York. Used to call him J. Edgar Hochul. I'll take credit for that. Thank you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hourly News Radio 930 WBEN on the Trocare College WBEN live line is Kenny Gold, Regional Vice President, Corrections Officers and PBA. And we're talking, continuing to talk about the situation that happened Wednesday morning in Collins. And guys and ladies, it was so bad that they had to send in other officers and CERT teams, special responders, to Collins Correctional. It was so bad, the commissioner of corrections reportedly helicoptered, but he was at Collins while everything was going down. And why he is downplaying the number of injuries to COs, why he's downplaying the entire situation where COs were trapped for a time, for hours, is beyond me. Now, Kenny Gold is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, this Martuscello guy, Daniel F. Martuscello III, he actually, and this might shock some people, he actually was a corrections officer starting in 1997. He's got a bachelor's degree in sociology, oversees a multi-billion, with a B as in Bravo, dollar budget. And what do you know, if anything, Kenny, about this guy's time as a corrections officer? He should be one of you. He should be conversant with what you have to go through day in and day out. Yet he seems, for a former CO, to be anti-CO.
I didn't work with him personally. I wasn't in the department when he started, but for all intents and purposes. He made it through the ranks, through different, whether HR or so on and so forth. I don't know all the titles that he held. And that's what's really disheartening overall for all members, because it was someone that wore the blue uniform, and it was somebody that understands what the men and women face every day. And you have conversations with him, but he's also he's holding us as his own business. You can't turn around and micromanage every little thing and worry about what your principals are going to say. He's more worried about what the governor thinks or what the legislator thinks or what Aunt Martha thinks, listening to these shows or listening to anybody else, than what the men and women that put on the uniform think and what they feel and what they go through. And that's the biggest thing, is what they go through. You know, someone that's been through the ranks, if I would imagine in 1997 when he started, because, you know, as soon as to me, I didn't know when he started, so thanks for doing the homework, Tom. But when he went through and he started, if he found out that, knowing what he knows about corrections and knowing what he knows about safety, that the commissioner at that time would put out a memorandum saying that he's instructing all superintendents to strip 30% of the workforce, and how unsafe that would make it for every single person inside those walls and fences, I bet you he would be screaming at the rooftops. He would be shouting and begging for anybody to listen to what's going on in the department, because everybody knows that we need help at this point. We need help right this second. And if you strip us of 30% more, and when we say 30%, the public, if you're thinking you hear all the time budget cuts and all this other stuff, this isn't a budget cut. This is just because they're trying to fudge the numbers to make it look like we have enough people in there. There's not enough people. There's not enough people taking the job. They're not doing anything to help us recruit anybody. They're not helping us keep members here for retention. It's so frustrating. And it's like even talking now, I don't know how to even articulate how disturbing it is for people that, and when you say someone that was a CO and anybody else along the rank, to not see or to not understand what we feel, that is, you can't encompass it in an adjective, to be honest with you, let alone an adjective that I can say on the air. It's atrocious.
I'm thinking about certain orifices, which I best not name on air. 240 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I want your telephone calls. We've got people on hold. I will get to you. 803-0930. The phone number, *930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. And Kenny, this is insulting to your intelligence. It's insulting to my intelligence, what little there is. It is insulting to the people who do wear the blue uniform. When he was talking to these lawmakers, okay, this sociology-trained former CO, head of the Department of Corrections, blamed the Collins situation on staffing shortages. Yet the same guy who bitches about staffing shortages is the guy who put out the memo on Monday basically saying that 70% of what you have now is the new 100%. How can anybody with a straight face say staffing shortages when he has just issued an edict cutting staff by 30%? That's his name on the memo, along with Governor Hochul.
This happens every day, Tom. That is just such a small piece of what our members face. They look around. There's always changes. It's not monthly. It's not yearly. It's every single day. There's a new, we call them directive. It's directive changes, direction changes. Every facility, the management teams, it's called, how do they call that rule? He's, you know, emperor's rule type of thing, where every superintendent that runs these facilities, they're telling the members to do things one way. Then the next management person comes in and say, no, I want it this way. No, I want it that way. Because everybody's fearful of what up in Albany, the ghost of Albany, what they're going to do to them, because they're handling situations. Like I said in previous shows, you're watching people, they finally stopped this, but for months they've been watching people on their body cameras as they go to the bathroom, because Albany's saying, must review these cameras. You're turning around and we want to change the policies for this, or cut your staff like this one would be. You have to do more with less, make it work, get these programs done. And if the superintendent, you know, I've been jails like Lakeview constantly, we have to have to call down the road in Albany to say, are you telling management to keep this HALT program running, which would be your residential rehabilitation unit, after you had five, six, seven, eight officers go to the hospital, but as soon as they get hurt, instead of saying, hey, how are the officers, they leave by ambulance, they leave by state van to go to the hospital and then turn around and then you find out that the members that are left, if the area was supposed to have 10 officers to make the programs work, they're down five officers. This just happened, like I'd say, within the last 6-8 months at one of the facilities. And they said, no, get it running because we have to run these programs. Instead of worried about safety, instead of worried about how the members are, and very rarely, it's a job that's thankless. So no one's expecting someone to come back and say, are you okay? Is everything all right? No, nobody expects it. But at some point, the only way to show that you value us is acknowledging it by stopping some of the stuff to make it safer for our fellow brothers and sisters that are still there right now, just like what's going on at Collins. Start slowing stuff down. Start taking stuff away. And as a boss, on every level, speak up to your boss, because corrections, they're COs, they're sergeant, but then there's depth, which are bosses of bosses of bosses. And it's like we can't have enough top, you know, the department's so top heavy. You'll never see them come out with a memo saying, why don't we trim 30% of that? No, because they'll probably make it 60% of them to take off 30% of the officers. That's what our members feel every single day. And the problem is I'm lucky to be able to be their voice to say what they're thinking, but it's very rare that we actually get to say it. And then in bigger opportunities where our bosses could be saying to their bosses, to their principals, that this is what our members feel. And instead they say, well, what programs can we get or what can we do to make it better? And that's what our members see. If they're having those conversations to protect us, it's behind closed doors. Come out. Come out and tell the governor how great your staff is. Come out and say how great of a job they did at Collins. Come out and say how amazing Collins has been doing since COVID in having to run when you're taking your days off away from you and your holidays and working triple shifts every day so that the department still runs. Do that just once, and then everybody, they'll never be happy, but I'll tell you, they'll say, our boss finally stood up for us. So why is this department in the crapper? It's because no one will stand up and say what's really going on from our boss's side, and they need to step up to their bosses to say enough's enough.
Kenny Gold is the voice of corrections officers with us on Trocare College, WBEN's Live Line. Let's get some calls on. You do not have to give your name when you call in. And I, frankly, have been amazed at the number of active duty COs who have braved everything and called in, which, again, I'm making the assumption that at this point you're so frustrated. Hey, they want to fire you and be even more short-staffed. You'll go wrap burritos or something. Let's go to Anonymous in Collins on WBEN. Anonymous, welcome. You are on with Kenny Gold. Go ahead.
How you doing? First off, thanks, Kenny, for being the voice. Your brothers and sisters appreciate it. I just want to give you a quick idea of what's currently going on. Things are still very volatile at Collins. The searches are going on, and the inmates are still threatening as the searches are going on. They're still trying to intimidate as the searches are going on. There was an incident yesterday. Six inmates grouped up around officers frisking, began threatening, trying to intimidate, blocking their path. This was done in vision of three deputy superintendents who were witnessing the frisks. They chose to do nothing. They refused to write misbehavior reports even to the inmates. This is the type of things that are going on in front of the bosses of the bosses of the bosses. And I don't know how they expect officers to be able to handle situations like that.
Number one, that's intolerable. Number two, that is a failure of leadership, an abject 100%. Failure of leadership.
So my question is, for if any of them are listening, or they don't care, so they're not listening, but what's going to happen when these frisks are done and the hundreds of other personnel from other facilities that had to come in and save? What's going to happen that first midnight shift when there's one officer with 60 of these crazed inmates who've been threatening for 3 or 4 days now, and he's up there by himself or herself for an 8-hour shift or potentially a 16 or a 24-hour shift? Who in their right mind is going to feel safe for that shift? Like, I'm terrified for whoever gets stuck on these dorms the first few moments when everybody's gone. And to me, this has to start on a local administrative level. If your superintendent or your captain or your deputy superintendent for security doesn't care, doesn't want to put their name on anything because they don't want to look bad in front of Marticello, how is the officer on the bottom line supposed to be able to do anything? It's literally terrifying every single day at that place.
Can you enlighten us, Anonymous, as to, I mean, without using the vulgarity and profanity because of the FCC regulation, what kind of threats or invectives have been hurled at the COs by the inmates? What do you have to deal with?
Oh, every day.
I just want to hear what Anonymous has to say based on what he just said.
Sorry. I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm going to F your wife. I'm going to find your daughter at school and F her in the A. Like, the most vile, disgusting things a human being could say to another human being is said. And the officers are supposed to just sit there with their body cameras on and say, anything else you would like to add? Okay, have a good day.
Unbelievable, but very believable. Anonymous, thank you very much for the call. Kenny Gold?
Yeah, you can't say anything better. He's been around for a while, I'm sure. Been around the block once or twice, and he sounds like he's a member from Collins. And, you know, he knows what it's like when the exposures happen and you go running in to try to help people. And when he talks about what's going to happen when this is over, when everybody's gone, these men and women are there for each other. And, you know, when he talks about management, when he says depth, so everybody understands, that's ranks above officer and sergeant. And when they don't do anything, it emboldens the inmate. When there's no penalties like halt, it emboldens the inmate. But who's the one that has to deal with the inmate? We do. Everybody in the Ivory Palace to fly in or wherever they are, they don't have to deal with these men and women every day, you know, with the incarcerated. We do. When the inmates get mad, they come after who? Us. When they don't get what they want, who do they throw the urine and feces at? Us. And when everything's gone, like the caller says, who's going to be there to protect us? Just us. And then when you cut 30% of staff on top of that, who's coming to help these people? And if the governor, the commissioner, the legislatures, even if they could care to whatever is about us, what about the inmates? What about when they're in trouble, when they're beating each other up? Who's going to protect who when you cut 30% of staff? When you turn around and you add more management people to sit there and say, it's okay, don't do this. Or when he said a misbehavior report, which would be basically like a ticket on the street if someone would think for like speeding or some sort of penalty. When they don't penalize these guys and they just tell them not to do anything, what do you think is going to happen the next time? It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. These guys are so brazen, and someone said it, I think, on a couple shows ago that you had on the air. And it's almost like the officers feel like they're the inmates now. The inmates have more power than they do.
Kenny Gold, the voice of corrections officers in Western New York, is with us on the WBEN Trocare College live line. Kenny, on a number of occasions, we've talked about the fact that COs have to wear cameras. Are the inmates also on camera? For example, during the situation Wednesday morning, are they on camera or would that violate their rights?
No, they're not on camera. I mean, some facilities have fixed cameras that are mounted and stagnant, but you know who else doesn't have cameras either? Tom, that sounds like an oxymoron, is management. Management doesn't have to wear cameras. They can watch all of us. I don't think Albany's wearing cameras, but no, the inmates, specifically at Collins, they wouldn't have had cameras on them at that time. Anybody that would have had cameras would have been supervisory staff, or if officers had them, I'm not 100% sure, but there is no fixed cameras at Collins.
Okay, so there's no accountability on video for any activity of the inmates at Collins during what happened, the insurrection on Wednesday morning. I'm getting the feeling from multiple conversations with you and people who've called into the show that the atmosphere in Collins and other correctional facilities in New York State is that of don't write up anything that is going bad because it's going to make local management look bad as if the situations are out of control at the local facilities. It will make the commissioner look bad. And most importantly, it will make the governess of New York State, Kathy Hochul, look bad if people really knew and had accurate information on how out of control the prison system in New York State has become, in particular since the HALT Act, and it's going to be exacerbated by a 30% staff cut. The objective here, unless I'm wrong, correct me, the objective from everybody, don't make the local big shots look bad, and especially don't make the governor look bad by telling the truth about what's happening. Is that anywhere in the ballpark of reality?
Well, it's kind of twofold. I mean, one, yes, the misbehavior reports, the discipline itself, when bad behavior happens, if someone writes a misbehavior report, it's almost non-existent anymore because the local management teams can't penalize these inmates anyways, even if they wanted to. Then it becomes so difficult if there's an inmate that, say, assaults officers or this or that. Sometimes they assault you just to move to a different facility. But more importantly, what they've stripped the superintendents, which is the highest person at the facility, they've stripped them because of Albany and all the politics of any sort of say that they may have. So when they call up, they could say, I have an issue. We don't know what's said because obviously that's not in our, they're not our brothers and sisters. They're not in our union, but they've taken every power for the superintendent to make any sort of decision away from them. And it's all ruled by Albany. So of course, no one's going to write any discipline because why would anybody write anything up when nothing happens anyways? And then the inmate laughs at the officer for saying, what are you going to do? You're going to write me up for something I did. They're going to be right there with them tomorrow. These, like we said, these inmates that did at Collins. Any one of them involved, if this would have been years ago, they would be in a special housing unit somewhere else in a different facility for months for what they did. Instead, they move them to other facilities, and where are they now? They're probably walking around with their buddies at a different facility like nothing happened, and that's the reason why all the problems we're facing keeps happening. And then when it's all said and done, the policymakers, the legislature, is going to turn around and keep trying to change their bills to make it where, well, we shouldn't penalize them for this and we shouldn't do anything for that. They make sure you can't do this to the inmate because it's inhumane. Meanwhile, the last time I checked, getting urine and feces thrown in your face, that's pretty inhumane to me. But we have to hope and pray that everything was done right at the facility so that you can prosecute them maybe to get a year to 3 years added on to their sentence. None of this makes sense, Tom. You can't hit it any better on the head of the nail. You can't hit it any better than what you're saying, because the more clear is everything's backwards. Everything's contradictory from Albany on down.
Now, we're through the looking glass on this. Kenny Gold, I want to thank you once again for your time. I appreciate you. I appreciate the work of corrections officers. I think it's a damn shame what you and your union members across the state have to go through. No support from management, no support from the governor, no support from the commissioner, never a job well done. It's always outrage, outrage, outrage if an exhausted officer does something stupid or wrong. Then the outrage comes out, but when inmates attack COs, there's no outrage. In fact, let's downplay that. We don't want the public to know that our HALT Act and all of our other policies in New York State designed to benefit the inmates. And I don't wish ill on any inmate who's doing their time well. I hope they don't get attacked by other inmates. I want to thank you very much for joining us, Kenny. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
Kenny Gold, News Radio 930 WBEN, the Trocare College WBEN live line.